Good morning.
Good morning.
The sun's out. The ice is melted. So on some of the roads, the ice is melted. It's good to be alive today. Okay. First of all, prayer concerns. Beth Mavis is home. But from the hospital, but she's asking no phone calls and no visitors. She's really not feeling up to dealing with anything right now. So, but please keep her in your prayers. And the Huber family has a new addition to their family. Miss Paula has got one more granddaughter. Miss Molly had a baby girl. Her name is Elena Jane Thurneau, and she is in Alaska, Burr. And I think Grandma's planning on a trip to give that baby a rockabye. Prayers. And Grandma would like prayers for the flight there. It's not all that close flying to Alaska. But anyway, we're all excited about a new baby coming to the Huber family. Oh, Linda, did you have a prayer concern? Linda, did you?
I have an announcement, but I wanted to be on the radio.
Okay. Linda has an announcement, but she wants hers on the radio. Are there any other prayer concerns that I'm not aware of? No, everybody's good? Okay. Birthdays? January birthdays? Oh, we've got a bunch. Sarah Hobson, Bev Shoemaker, John Phillips, and Katie Bader. So let's sing happy birthday to those people. I don't see any anniversaries for this week. Announcements. I have an announcement to make. We can do this prior to the radio. In the United Methodist Church, we have six special Sundays that we celebrate, and today is the first of those six that we celebrate through the year. It is called Human Relations Day. And today we have the opportunity to present a financial gift to be used for the common good through our United Methodist Church's Human Relations Day offering. When neighbors experience poverty and live in communities that have limited resources, our gifts on Human Relations Day work together to empower faith-based volunteer programs that work with at-risk teens. Since tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I wrote down a quote of his from The Birth of a New Age. An individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to broader concerns of all humanity. These contributions work with racial and ethnic ministries throughout the United States and Puerto Rico. There's a United Methodist volunteer service that works with social justice organizations for outreach in their community. And there is also a youth offenders rehabilitation program. It is a Christ-centered project giving teens a chance to succeed. As individuals on our own, none of us have the capacity to save the world. Only God can do that. But working together and with our gifts infused with the Holy Spirit to strive for a common good, our lives and the lives of others can be transformed. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Sue Platt is our worship leader this morning, bringing you the message, and I am Suzanne Hickson, worship leader. Linda Schramm has an announcement she'd like to make.
I procrastinated too long and didn't get an article in the current newsletter that you have about Lenten devotionals, but you'll see information on the back of your bulletin about it. One of the special things, I think, about this particular congregation is a project that Catherine Phillips brought back to us in the mid-90s that we took a chance and asked the congregation to write a personal Lenten devotional that we would publish for use beginning on Ash Wednesday, ending on Easter Sunday. Who thought that more than 25 years later, we were still doing that project in this congregation? And for many of us, it's one of the most powerful devotions we have. In fact, just this last year, I did something that I wish I'd thought of when we first started in, but who thought it was going to go this long? I gathered up the Lenten devotionals that I'd had from previous years. How many of you keep them from year to year and have them somewhere in your house? I decided I would, I took them to Clear Ideas to get them punched, and I put them in a binder, of course, in chronological order. And if I've ever down or ever need powerful devotion, this is one of the most personal, powerful devotions you will ever look at in your life. So kind of not only think about writing one for this year, but maybe think about gathering up some of the others. If you need help in finding where to get a big enough binder to put them in, I think I can get 10 years in a binder. But if you have this near your chair or wherever you do your quiet time and just need a pick-me-up, what a powerful devotion you have just laying perhaps in pieces in your house that you could put together. And reminding us to pray for others, not only in our congregation. But I sometimes pick them up and forget that we had various people in the congregation who have come through for just a time, and they wrote for us, and now they're off in other places. So when you're writing a Lenten devotional, it's not just for the year, but it's for the history of the church. We have the most wonderful, informal history of this congregation for the last 25 years, for people who shared a bit of their spiritual life with us. So consider writing one. We've got two in already. Your deadline is Valentine's Day, February 14th. It's on a Monday. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And those devotionals are, I can remember certain ones that I've read over the years, and they're very touching. Some are very humorous, too, but it's a fun and a very rewarding thing to do is just to write it and to read them, too. We will now have our prelude and the lighting of the candles. Please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our first praise song is number 333. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. Now that's my kind of song. Please stand if you're able. Please join me in the call to worship. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, Jesus brought joy to the guests.
We come with joy in our hearts to celebrate the marriage of Christ and the church.
Let your happiness radiate and bring joy to any guests that worship with us.
Jesus is the source of our joy, and we delight in sharing his love with others. Praise be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you who continually call your people to yourself, draw us by the power of your Holy Spirit into such a warm and binding relationship that we may faithfully follow you all the days of our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please join us in the opening hymn, number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
The children to come up. So how are you? I'm going to sit with you this morning. If I can get down. Yep. See if I can get back up when we're done. So what do I have here? A newspaper. What happens in the newspaper? It tells you stuff. It tells you things that are going on. It tells you about sports. Who's playing, who's won, who's lost, right? Tells you all kinds of stories. Some are good. Others may be bad. You know, it even tells you this is what most people look at. Who's died? They're called the obituaries. Right, people? Yeah. I bet you boys and girls don't look at that page. No? Do you guys read the paper at all? No. I didn't when I was your age. But I have a story that may have happened long time ago, if they would have done newspapers, but they didn't do newspapers. And you know what? They have. They've put it into a book called the Bible. All kinds of stories. So I want you to listen, because the Bible is just like a newsletter or newspaper. So what if we read our Bible lesson from today like it's an article in the daily newspaper? Today's story is from the Gospel of John. The word actually means good news. Yay, good news. I like reading those articles, do you? You're thinking of reading those good stories? Yeah. So listen to the headline. Wedding guest turns water into wine. Wow. What do you think about that headline? That is good news. That is good news. Sounds pretty interesting too, right? So on Tuesday, a woman named Mary was in Cana in Galilee, to attend a wedding. A large number of guests, including her son, a man named Jesus, also attended the wedding. Guests at the wedding were reportedly having a good time until the host ran out of wine. Uh-oh. At that point, it seemed that the happy celebration might turn into a disaster. What do you think? Think it could? No, you don't think so? Some of the wedding guests thought that perhaps Jesus might have a solution to the problem. So they reported to him that they were out of wine. And when told about the problem, Jesus at first seemed unwilling to do anything, but after some encouragement from his mother, did you hear that? Encouragement from mother, moms are good, he finally agreed to help. You know, and he was older at that time. He was like 30 and he listened to his mom. Did you hear that? Listen. Eyewitnesses at the wedding reported that Jesus noticed several large water jars nearby and instructed some servants to fill them with water. After the jars had been filled with water, he told them to dump some of the water out of the jars and take it to the man that was in charge of serving the wine. When the wine steward tasted the water, he discovered it had turned to wine. Water was turned to wine. As a result of this miraculous event, many people are following Jesus everywhere he goes, and many believe what he might be, even the long-awaited Messiah, because this was the very first thing that Jesus did in his ministry. Pretty good news, right? It was the first miracle that happened. So I want you to pray with me. Repeat with me. Dear Jesus, worker of miracles, work a miracle in us today. Amen. All right. So here's your bulletins. Talks about Jesus turning water into, there's a couple there, into wine. Yep. Bo, everybody got one? Nope, got. There we go. You're welcome.
Yay.
And I got up, yes.
Another miracle.
Yes.
Our Old Testament reading today is Psalms 36, verse 5 through 10. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadows of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May God add the blessings upon the reading of his word.
Thank you, Suzanne. Today our choir is going to sing Precious Lord. And I wanted to share a word before we actually came and sang. This is to honor the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. from 1929 to 1968 was his time that he lived. The text is by Joyce Merman and the arrangement is by Roy Wingwald. As we remember this holiday weekend, we remember what's going on in the world, that we can find peace and unity. Hear these words from our choir. Prayers this week are to remember Martin Luther King Jr. and what it means for our country to continue to have peace and that unity. We also want to keep baby Elena. I understand she is in the NIC unit right now, so we are going to continue to pray for her. And also, Jim and I will be leaving for vacation Thursday after work, headed to Texas, and we're driving, so we pray that we don't get any winter storms along the way, that we can miss all of them. You will have 2 weeks of guest speakers. Please come so that they feel like they are speaking to a good crowd. And I will be back on the first Sunday of communion with first Sunday of February with communion. Get that out right. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer as we also remember Team One Credit Union. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a great day. The sun is shining. We've heard of new birth. We have lots of birthdays. We're in celebration because you are in control. And we hear our sermon for today of the first miracle and know that God continues to work miracles in our lives now. So we give you thanks. We praise your name as we can gather to worship you on this beautiful day. And we pray, Lord, that we can find the peace that passes all understanding that comes from you. We pray for Team One Credit Union and all our community businesses, that they can continue to thrive, to grow in their business, to have the help that they need, the staff, and that we can continue to grow in our community, in our spiritualness, as well as good business. Lord, this is the day that you have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. And as we continue to think of our family and friends, our children's note this week is, I pray that this week goes well for my family and friends. Thank you, Miss Kylie. So, Lord, may we have a blessed week. May we worship you every day. May we praise your name every day. And Lord, in our prayers, we ask that you be with all of those that are listed on our prayers that we've heard this morning that are unspoken, to give aid where it's needed, to give help with cars that don't start, to give food where food is lacking, shelter, warmth in this very cold winter. We pray that we can help and reach out to those that are cold. And may you warm our hearts that we can continue to be your hands and feet here on this earth. And we pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our song is of hymn of preparation is 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, and we're doing verse 1 and 4. Please remain seated. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Hear John's word. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though. The servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you save the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. Now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. Isn't it kind of odd that the first miracle is turning water into wine? If you notice, we've changed colors up here at the altar. What color are we here, girls? Green. That's right, we're now green. We turn to green because green is about growing and learning, and Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He had been baptized that we had last week, and now he starts his journey to minister and teach others, as well as to teach us. So at this wedding in Cana of Galilee, I understand from my commentaries that instead of having a honeymoon, this couple was given 7 days of a wedding feast. Woo! Can you imagine? No. 7 days of festivities and food and wine. In John's Gospel, they also call this Cana grace, because there was grace given as they drank their way and was fed through this 7-day wedding. Now, if any of us really realize weddings, there's usually something that goes wrong. We hope that it's perfect. We want that perfect day for the bride and the groom. But does that always happen? No. Usually there's something. It's either the pastor, it's something in the family, you know, "Oh, I forgot this," or "Oops, I dropped the ring," you know, whatever it may be. Well, this could have been a disaster in this culture in that time because they really didn't drink the water there. It wasn't really safe. And so they had the water in these big jugs. Now, if you look at our picture up here, that is not really one of the stones that they're pouring the water into. But if you look below, that's what some of the stones were. I actually had the privilege of being at Cana where they had the wedding feast. And I love the pots, the clay. They're beautiful, and they would hold a lot because a lot of them were used for ceremonial cleansing, and so they needed that water heavy, so you couldn't just pour. That's why the one on the top is a lighter one that they could put water in, because you really couldn't carry, and so you almost had to dip it like a well to get the water out of that to be able to clean. And so when they put the, you know, they probably put some type of small jar down or a bucket to get the water out, and then it was wine. Now, I know a lot of people don't think we should be drinking. I'm not offending anybody, am I? Yet Jesus' first miracles is turning water into wine. But again, I want to point out that in that day, that culture, the water wasn't good. I kind of think it's that way in Sandusky myself. Maybe I should see if Jesus will turn water into wine at my house. But you could get sick from drinking the water there. Everywhere we went, I had Coke most of the time because they had Coke products there. But you got a bottle of something, a bottled water, a bottled Coke, a bottle of something. You didn't drink the water even all these years later. But it's a celebration. It's a wedding. A wedding feast for 7 days. You know, all my years of preaching, I'm not sure I really caught that. But this year I did. 7 days of a wedding feast. I'm thinking I would not want to be in my wedding in a dress and shoes for that long. Where's my jeans? But they didn't have high heels like we do today, right? But Jesus is talking to them about turning, you know, just fill it with water, and he turns it into wine. Really, no one at the party knew what Jesus did. Yet this is the first miracle. His mother, did you catch that? At 30 years old, his mother was telling him what to do. I love that part of the story. And he says, woman? He didn't even call him mom. Woman? Really, Jesus? Woman? Who do you think you are? So she says, do whatever he tells you. But she knew what was going to happen. She knew he could do that. And when his disciples saw that, you got to remember, this is the first time he's had his disciples out, and this is like the first ministry that has actually been happening since he was baptized. And his disciples, who said yes, they'd follow him, now believe who he is because they saw what he did. I thought about this story and I'm thinking, you know, they saw and they believed. It's hard for us to see, isn't it? We don't see Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't see miracles. In fact, some people say there's not miracles today. I think birth is a miracle. There's so many miracles that actually do happen today. Now, sometimes we pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen. We want a loved one to live longer. They don't. But I do believe that there are miracles. I find myself every once in a while I was going a little fast than I should. But I missed that accident. And I go, thank you, Jesus. I think that's a miracle. When we think we may be falling down, but we catch ourselves, is that a miracle? I think there can be so many miracles around us that we don't even look and go, oh, that was a miracle. We don't even notice. And a lot of times, we don't even thank God for it because we don't recognize it. Oh, that was sheer luck. Really? Maybe? In the commentaries on this reading, they talk about the people were happy. They were celebrating. Why doesn't the church celebrate the glory of God? Ooh. Do we? Do we celebrate every day that we have God in our life, that there are miracles? Do we celebrate that God is with us every day? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. But sometimes we come in church with this long face like, I'm here. All right, what are you going to preach about today, Pastor? Are the songs going to be able to sing or not? But I'm here. But we don't always have that joy in our heart. Here, this is a celebration. And what commentaries are saying is, church should be like a wedding that we celebrate the glory of God. Amen? Well, you know what? We got to work something out. But, you know, the United Methodist Church, I'm just saying. You know, some churches do wine for communion. We're not allowed. We're not allowed to bring wine into the church for any celebrations. But that's a good point. I bet we'd have people here. Okay, Lord. Wouldn't that be a new concept? Welcome, here's a glass of wine. Love to see. I bet they'd come back. But I can tell you, in the United Methodist Church, we don't do the drinking. It doesn't say that we can't drink. We don't drink in the church. We don't offer wine for communion. Do you know why? Because what happens if one person out here is an addict and we offer wine and it tips them off? That's why we don't do that in the United Methodist, because we don't want to have anyone fall down. That would be on us. But yes, I like a glass of wine. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? But I have to tell you, I'm a PK. A PK is a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor in Georgia, the Southern Georgia Conference. And he did a lot of the little churches. He loved little churches because that's just a great community. But in that small community, everybody knew everybody, right? And you didn't drink. Now, we're talking years ago. My dad's been gone for quite a while now. So we're talking years ago. But he lived in the parsonage. I want you to hear this. He lived in the parsonage, and people would just come in and look in his cupboards and look in his refrigerator to see if he had any alcohol. That's not acceptable, folks. You cannot come in the parsonage and look at my refrigerator or my cupboards. That's not acceptable. But they did. He would hide his bottle of wine. But we struggle with the context of this is alcohol. United Methodist Church doesn't want us to be able to, it's okay to have a drink, but you can't go overboard. You can't, you're not to get drunk. You read all these stories in the scripture and so-and-so got drunk. That's not acceptable in United Methodist Church. We have to be able to do anything that we do, no matter what, is within reason, within tradition, within scripture, within what the Bible says. We have to be aware. We don't condone gambling. We don't encourage people to go out and gamble. Why? Because if you gamble, you may not be able to put food on the table. But if you gambled and just, okay, I'm spending $20 and this is my entertainment, and you walk away. But I didn't say that. There's things that we do and there's things that we shouldn't do. Jesus says, love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If we do those two things, we'll be in line with what the scripture says. Amen? So when we say, hey, you're not supposed to drink, and I go, well, in scripture, Jesus' first miracles is turning water into wine. There's a few of us pastors, though, when we want to go to the store and buy wine, we go out of town and buy wine. Because of how it looks. But yet, this is Jesus' first miracle. I feel it kind of contradicts what we're supposed to be doing. And obviously, they had drank all the other wine. But it was 7 days worth. Were they drunk? Probably. To be realistic. Yet Jesus turned the water. Why? So he could show those that knew what was happening the glory of God. That's why he did it. It wasn't about serving wine. It wasn't about the miracle. It was about the miracle that God is glorified. I want you to hear that. God was glorified because then they realized who Jesus was. And his disciples continued to follow him. It's the very beginning of his ministry. Who is this guy? Well, he showed them who he was. Who is God to you today? Do you glorify him? Do you see the miracles that are happening in our life? Do you follow him? I pray that you and myself continue to grow closer to God each and every day, growing deeper in our spiritualness of who we are, but also whose we are. And that we will do what he wants us to do. To follow him. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us the scripture that can be very contradictory. Yet we recognize that your name, God's name, is glorified through it. May we remember that part of the story. And to share the good news, just like a newspaper. To share the good news that you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are our Lord and Savior. And through you, all things are possible. Let us praise your name. Amen. Now would the ushers come forward for our morning offering. Come and giving you our gifts, our love for you, and we pray that these gifts will be used for your ministry to share the good news that Jesus is alive. May we glorify you. In the name of Christ, amen. Our closing song is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Our young people being back and doing the acolyte. Amen? Yes. Thank you. You guys do a great job. As you go forth this week, don't go and drink a lot of wine. I just had to say that. But go and enjoy and have fun. Enjoy life. Praise God. Let's celebrate that we are Christians. Amen? Yes. And love one another. And on this weekend of Martin Luther King Jr., when we think about the racism, when we think about the meanness and the killings and the stress and strife that goes on between blacks and whites, men and women, let us try to find love and peace and unity. So go loving one another. Go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, Son, that saved.